So, hello, I'm talking today about the recent Skulls event and the Heresy drop site announcement. And although I didn't do too many of these, I think it's often good to just have a little refresh where I can chat like this in the mix. And I wasn't kidding myself to smash this one out because I got a little paranoid they were just going to not stop posting micro articles on the Warhammer site, because I think they posted like 10 separate articles all about the Heresy release in a single day, and then loads of Skull stuff before, and I just was not sure when they were going to stop announcing things. So if you don't know what the Skulls events for Warhammer are, they're basically a day every year where they just announce a load of stuff that's upcoming about video games. And these have always been pretty noteworthy, but not necessarily earth-shattering. Very often, massive titles are announced outside of this. It doesn't tend to be locked in onto the Skulls event. Skulls 25, though, I think comparative to previous years, was a bit of an orbital strike. Because while there was nothing necessarily Exterminatus scale, it was still a deluge of reveals, updates, and it does deserve more than a passing glance, which is why I decided to talk about it. I've got questions, thoughts, and opinions, and this video certainly isn't a deep lore dive. In fact, I paused my current project to just give a little time to this, but these more chatty videos also give me a chance to say thank you very much to everybody who continues to watch, comment, debate, and keep our immersion in the lore alive. I greatly appreciate everybody supporting the channel here. So I'll take the rare opportunity to say, hey, also, if you're not subscribed, maybe consider that, because we are on the final push for the channel to 1 million subscribers, and any help is very appreciated. So let's resume the descent into news bandwagoning, Broken Legions, Shattered Oaths, and the Shadow of Terror. We've got Dark Heresy, Arbites, Astartes, and a lot more. On top of all this, though, they also showcased this drop site preview for the Heresy tabletop, which is basically the refreshed and updated Heresy game, and that does deserve some discussion also. I think it's generally interesting even if you're not into the tabletop side of things. So we're going to talk games, then updates, then Heresy, and then a little small channel update from me. Also, comically, I also nearly forgot to actually discuss about the epic Heresy trailer, so let's have a look and I'll chat over it. Now again, this is mostly a very pretty visual trailer. There's not too much heavy, deep lore stuff to get into, but I do like this first part where we've got Valdor talking about how the Emperor sort of felt this need to create this massive artwork of Terror, the Astartes, the Crusade, and all this kind of stuff. And I don't think we get enough of that really come through in 40k, this feeling of culture, the sense of what Astartes and Custodes and the Emperor are doing outside of their vast plans. Again, as usual, really like the communication between Sister of Silence and the Custodes. That's a nice touch. But just also the aesthetic of Valdor here is absolutely epic. Just being able to visualize him in this way, in the level of detail they've gone for, is breathtaking. And then we've got Heresy, baby. It's Fellblades, it's quad autocannons, it's Astartes, shoot, bang, 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 fight. Yeah, it's all the Heresy stuff, but I do like the scale here. I like that, just look at all the fire and the smoke, that kind of acrid, choking environment. It really feels like hellish, like nothing other than an Astartes could survive in this environment. And then, yeah, bang, they come out deploying onto the battlefield. Awesome that we get to see the disintegration weapons, some of those sort of darker weapons which didn't survive through to M41. That's cool to just see it visualized. I like the idea that they're sort of lying as if dead and then standing up. And then look at this kind of close quarter battle here. It seems stupid on the face of it, but then when you really think about it, it's like, yeah, this is how Astartes and the Heresy would fight. Almost point blank, and they're all sort of shooting each other. It seems stupid tactically, but for the Astartes, it kind of makes sense. Then Saturnine Terminators and Saturnine Dreadnought and all the rest of it coming in. Big plasma weapons, shooting, smash, and all the Heresy stuff. It's good times. The actual aesthetic of the Saturnine Terminators and the Saturnine Dread here, I like the weight to which the Dreadnought is moving forward, but I'm not 100% on the Saturnine. I'm not 100%. I want them to feel a bit more gritty. They are supposed to be these advanced suits, but I'm not sure. Now, this was the real deal for me. It takes a lot for me to get excited about anything, but as soon as I saw that eagle on the top of the staff with fire coming out, I was like, God damn, it's Malkador. And I really don't get excited about things, but seeing Malkador visualized is really, really a big deal. Malkador is just one of the most epic characters of the entirety of 40K, second only really to the Emperor. Just seeing him there for that brief, brief moment, amazing. And what else do you want? There you go, bang. It's the Horus Heresy. So we will circle back to talk about the Heresy stuff, but first up, the games. So this year's Skulls caught me off guard a little because I was expecting it to be very, very much the usual. What we got instead felt like something of a gear shift. It was a pretty solid lineup, but I think three titles really stood out, which were Dark Heresy, Mechanicus 2, and Bolt Gun 2. Now, each hits a different part of what makes 40K work for me. Slow burn narrative, strategic action, and the release of pure cathartic slaughter. Then there were the further updates for titles like Dark Tide, Rogue Trader, both bringing the Arbites, and also we have Space Marine 2. And I think it's this variety on show that's really great. Plus a mention for the likes of Tacticus and the upcoming 40K Supremacy, both bringing in expanded options outside the standard gaming. So I was surprised to see the additional refreshes of things like the first Space Marine game and the Dawn of War series as well. While I'm sure there's still a market for these, it is ever surely diminishing. And it's kind of curious timing, because I think you would all agree the moment for a refreshed Space Marine game was 3 months prior to Space Marine 2. Or one could argue, why not hold off until Space Marine 3 and then just release it then? So whilst the game is a timeless classic, played it through so many times, a refresh for its visuals and stability, undoubtedly welcome, but it does feel like a bit of a missed opportunity. Anyway, then Dawn of War. Now, also remains an enduring series, but no matter how much you refresh, it's certainly showing its age, and despite being very beloved by many, it's questionable just how much space there is for this in the overflowing cup of new 40K games. With that said though, it's getting 64-bit support, which for anybody who is all about those early Dawn of War titles is undoubtedly going to be a big deal. So I guess in the big picture, regardless of whether you're actually into older titles like this or not, it is nice to see things still beloved that are getting support, and I think it's easy to forget that this is a very notable gesture which doesn't necessarily have to be made. We all know the words, burn the heretic, kill the mutant, purge the unclean. It wasn't just a tagline though for 40K, it's a bureaucratic protocol. It is encoded into the resets of 1,000 dead inquisitors. And now it's back in Dark Heresy. Alcat, riding high after their immense success with the narrative CRPG Rogue Trader, announced Warhammer 40,000 Dark Heresy. It's a name that may not resonate with all of you, but I'm sure among those who know it, that bears some solid weight. Not just because of the long dormant lineage from Fantasy Flight Games, but because Dark Heresy was the lens through which many would have first seen the depth, horror, and intrigue of the Inquisition, beyond things obviously like Eisenhorn. The Fantasy Flight RPG series was an immense vault of 40K lore, it still is, but remains often still unknown to newcomers, because, like so much of 40K lore, it's out of print, and whilst available digitally, it's hardly front and centre. Dark Heresy, it's difficult to summarise because it contains something like 20 different book supplements detailing different explorations and endeavours for the Inquisition, fractured agents working within the vast, rotting spine of the Imperium, trying to keep the madness of the galaxy from consuming what little order remains. So pretty standard stuff. But it also contains one of my absolute favourite lore supplements, the Lathe Worlds, because this contains some of the most comprehensive detail about the Mechanicus, their origins, the cult Mechanicus religion, and yes, STC. And that is just one supplement out of so many, and I'm really selling it short as well. I think one thing's for sure, this will be a realm where you are not a rogue noble piloting a private navy. Very likely you will be an acolyte of the Inquisition, bound to a master whose motives are as hidden as his enemies. And just as we saw in the Calixus sector, a region teetering on the brink of spiritual and political disintegration, Dark Heresy will bring not just combat, but conflict in the form of ideological survival, loyalty, and identity. And admittedly, Rogue Trader had something of a bumpy release. It's hard to frame it, though, in the bigger picture as anything other than a success in what it delivered, which I think its Steam review status represents pretty strongly. And it's not at all easy to balance narrative complexity, layered character choice, and mechanical depth, yet they managed to accomplish this. So if they can bring that same energy to the subtle terror of inquisitorial work, something which I feel most of us would already be absolutely salivating at the thought of, investigating demon cults, uncovering rival ordo plots, deciding when to act and when to remain silent. All in all, if executed well and built on all they learned from Rogue Trader, Dark Heresy may become a definitive depiction of the Inquisition in gaming and 40k so far. And precisely because this is not a Space Marine power fantasy, I have faith that this will deliver to us the slow burn of suspicion, the long knife in the dark, the choice between damnation and extinction, between friendship and loyalty. In short, I'm fairly excited for Dark Heresy. So Mechanicus 2. There was a moment back in 2018 when Warhammer 40,000 Mechanicus arrived and achieved the seemingly impossible. It made people care about the Mechanicus. Now, I'm joking, calm down, but it's not completely untrue. The Mechanicus are generally positioned notoriously poorly in terms of tabletop strength. In lore, they get a little bit of a fairer shake given they're so intrinsically woven into the Imperium. So a turn-based tactical game wrapped in Xenos static and scrap code aesthetic was not on my stamp card for that year. But it gave us not only an engaging gameplay loop, but a flavorful means by which to engage with a faction which really deserved attention. Not to mention, of course, the Necrons, which have slowly been fleshed out ever more across the past decade. Now, Mechanicus delivered so much already, and now Mechanicus 2 is on the cusp of heading to release, despite no official release date yet. It may well do the same again. But also, we've got the Leagues of Votann coming in. Now, just so we're clear, the Necron are still a core contingent of the game, as we have seen since the announcement last year. But with the Votann in the mix, I think it would be more than fair to say that they have an opportunity, because the Votann haven't had an easy entry into the lore. Their historical representation was, at best, a little confusing. Bikers, but also somehow classic dwarven elements of fantasy realms, an extremely difficult faction to update and also stay tethered to its lore history. The Leagues of Votann haven't quite found their footing in the wider Warhammer 40k setting since their reintroduction. They've had a solid conceptual foundation, ancestor worship, ancient technologies, rotting STC, but they still feel peripheral. Unlike the Eldar or the Tau, who are woven into major conflicts and other lore development, the Votann largely exist at the edges. They are referenced more than involved. They haven't had a defining moment yet. No major war, no big betrayal, no catastrophe that binds them to the fate of others in the galaxy in the same way that many factions have. They've had one major novel, which I will admit I'm still to read, it's on my to-do list, but I think just broadly, it's about visibility. So there is a strong chance, I feel, for this game to change that. By placing them opposite the Mechanicus, it sets up a thematic conflict. Plus, we're talking about the two engineer factions going at it, the God Machine with those of the Ancestor Corps. It could be factionally defining. I think the most likely scenario is obviously pretty much as we saw with Mechanicus the first time around, but now you've got the Votann competing with the Mechanicus for their overall goals. And I think if executed well, this could be both grimdark and constructively expository. Will they take an incremental step toward feeling a necessary power in the galaxy? Will they be just mere allies or enemies of others? The Mechanicus were so compelling in the first game, the masterful voices that were created to represent them, a heavy-hitting soundtrack, and then the narrative for the story as well, which I don't want to spoil, but it really hits that balance of detachment, fanaticism, horror, and ritual. If you never took the opportunity to play it, I do say now is the time, because if Mechanicus 2 can just amplify and enrich what they already produced, it's on pretty solid ground. But for me, the Votann need to shine here. They've had so little opportunity to do so far, and they really need to make their presence felt in the 40k galaxy. I'm interested to see just how much weight they carry in this next release. Now, as was true with the first game, I bloody love retro FPS. Modded Doom, yes please, because sometimes you don't want rich narrative depth or nuance, you just want that very angry man screaming prayers, slamming bolts and chainswords into a demon's face. Bolt Gun was an unexpected masterwork for me, a glorious pixel bloody throwback to the golden FPS era, and evidently enough people agreed because Bolt Gun 2 is coming. The first game was just this unashamed, mad, old-school slaughter fest. Nothing overly complicated or pretentious, just max-level, raging slaughter. And while we've yet to see the full scope of enemies or weapons this time around, the teaser we've seen hinted at expanded Chaos Forces, Khorne. There will undoubtedly be new environments, but honestly, even if it's just more of the same, my answer is yes. I think the first game understood the same thing as seen in Space Marine 2. In complete contrast to something like Rogue Trader, while 40k is dark, it's also exhausting in its complexity. So when you're placed in the living weapons of that world through fast, mechanically engaging gameplay and sound design that punches, that just becomes addicting and joyous. There's little more you need to really say than that. Bolt Gun 2 is looking to double down on it. Instant pre-order from me. So moving on to the games which have got these DLC updates, and I'm curious if this was somehow coordinated, but if not, it's a wild coincidence that both Rogue Trader and Dark Tide are soon dropping Arbites DLC, almost on the same day. First, Rogue Trader with the Lex Imperialis DLC. This is just broadening the game's narrative at this point. Set to release June 24, it's introducing a 15-hour-ish storyline. It's a shift from the open exploration into the claustrophobic, rigid world of Imperial law enforcement. Players will gain access to new companions, including a fully voiced Arbites judge, and face the continuing moral choices from the base game, but presumably also more grounded in some sort of legal zone than, say, Warp Heresy. My hope would be that it delivers that same questioning tone we've seen throughout the Warhammer crime novel series, that even within the Imperium, justice is not clear-cut. So they're also on the front lines in Darktide, they're bringing this dynamic to the game's squad-based action, comically releasing a day before the Rogue Trader as well, June 23. So they're bringing a new class in, it's a blunt instrument of Imperial law, equipped with a riot shield, crowd control tools, and the thing people are most excited about, a loyal cyber mastiff, which I will be 100% checking out. Darktide has had continued support since release, and I've been getting back into it lately, because it is very much like Space Marine 2, an enjoyable grind. And I know that there were many who were just asking for, let's get a Space Marine or whatever, but I just think that Darktide is not focused on that kind of perspective. There's the other Space Marine games, if you want that. Darktide is focused on the human raw survival aspect, and where you've seen the other classes so far lean in on range firepower or warp-channeled psychic power, the Arbites come in, obviously, as specialists in crowd control, blunt trauma. Are they somehow disgraced, trying to redeem themselves, or are they coming in as an official representative, embodying the authority of the Lex Imperialis? Either way, it's a much-needed thematic and mechanical refresh, and I'm looking forward to it very much. Then we're also back to Space Marine 2, as it continues to expand its gameplay offerings, with the introduction of a new Siege mode, also launching June 26. So this mode invites squads of three players to defend an Imperial fortress against relentless waves of Tyranid and Chaos forces. And I think it's slotting into where the game is at now, which is basically a great way to just relax. There's nothing too complex about the action in Space Marine, I guess unless you're doing PvP stuff, whatever. It's just very objective and straightforward, but with moments that are challenging enough that you can be still chatting with friends as you play, then hold the line for as long as possible against increasingly formidable enemies. it's a pretty reliable format for relaxed gaming, and I think it's catering to the players at this point in time who are just dipping in and out for the mechanical grind, which is not dissimilar to Darktide in that regard. You have people who are just coming back for a bit of a chill play session, and then those guys who are absolutely sweating their ass off right at the other end of the scale. The game has had a continuing array of updates, both aesthetic and weapon, new enemies and so on, like the Tyranid Trigon. It's all part of their broader roadmap, which includes both free and premium content. The game, of course, an immense success, and I think its delay in release was significant in terms of the product they delivered. It more than proved worthwhile, because now with the announcement of Space Marine 3's development, this means support for Space Marine 2 will very likely continue on as well, for the near future at least. The devs have also assured the community as much, including some surprises still to be revealed. But the question, of course, is what speculative scenario will we see in Space Marine 3? Will it tie into a broader unfolding narrative in the greater lore of M41, or are we following Titus onward with a story that is very much dialed in on him specifically? Imagine we start a section of the game where we see Titus on a personal mission, not entirely dissimilar to, say, Uriel Ventress, and then later he becomes part of a massive campaign or quest. Whatever form it ultimately takes, I will be extremely excited to get involved at whatever level, and I think between now and then there is plenty of opportunity for rich speculation about whatever scenario we want to see. I was very humbled to produce that Titus lore video pre-release first time around, so if I am very lucky, maybe that opportunity will come along again whenever the timing is right for Space Marine 3. Now, just for completion's sake, while the spotlight of Skulls was firmly on those headline titles, other games received updates as well. Battle Sector introduced the Deeds of the Fallen DLC. It's a narrative campaign featuring the Sisters of Battle clashing with orcs. Gladius brings 8 new units in its Onslaught pack, including the Canoptic Reanimator for Necron and the Rubrics for Chaos Space Marines. Supremacy is this new grand strategy mobile game set on the all-too-familiar planet of Vigilus, players choosing who to engage that great war with, Space Marines, Militarum, Orcs or Chaos. I'm quite interested in that one, so I'll let you know how it goes. Speed Freaks has officially launched its 1.0 version, transitioning from early access to full release. Yet to give this one a try, but it might be good for a bit of a laugh. Then you've got the card games that I don't currently play, and they're adding more card stuff, so that's good if you enjoy card-based digital games. And then Tacticus. Now, despite people always being like, ah, late in Tacticus, yeah, I know, but as much as it may shock, I actually enjoy Tacticus. And you can believe that or not, given that they sponsor the channel, but I literally play it several times a day. With their recent update, which is already out, they're adding Custodes in with an active event that I'm doing literally today, as well as just the daily grind of missions, PvE, PvP, and strengthening my roster of units. So yeah, Tacticus, it's fun, it's free to try, I recommend giving it a look. And that's really it for the smaller updates. So let's talk Heresy. Now, for those of you who don't know, in tabletop side of Warhammer, you have the Heresy and you have 40k, one being set during the Heresy and one being set in M41. The Heresy is also focused more on battles between Astartes legions during that time, whereas 40k tabletop tends to be against other factions like Xenos, etc. The equipment is also generally very different. In the Heresy, Astartes were not only structured differently, they had more individual flavour in the legions. You had stuff like the Solar Auxilia and the Mechanicum were more terrifying than their contemporary equivalents, but you're still looking at a game that's very Space Marine heavy, which may or may not be appealing. Now, some people enjoy that because it doesn't have the random instability of trying to balance factions that are just fundamentally very different. With battles of just Space Marines, you've got more hope of making that balance comparable, and therefore more of a grinding battle that gives more tactical strategy. More chess-like, I suppose. Now, I do want to be absolutely clear. I do play Warhammer 40,000 and many previous editions as well. I know how to play Titanicus, and I know how to play Necromunda. I have not played Heresy. Although people are always telling me that I would love it because of my enjoyment of granular detail and the expansion of smaller logical rules which represent more real-ish warfare, I suppose. Unfortunately, despite owning it, I haven't had the time to finish a Heresy army. So please bear in mind that I'm just generally discussing about this release from what I've heard from others, the general opinion I see, and I absolutely welcome everybody's thoughts about that down below. And of course, oh yeah, Saturnine Terminators are a thing now. Now, I don't want to have another rant like Dawn, but I've had a few comments being like, when are you going to speak about it, Luton? All right, just relax. I never said Saturnine didn't exist, okay? It's literally referenced in the original Heresy Black Books. It's also referenced in the Heresy short Deeds Endure, with a literal picture of the armor. And of course, we knew it was a thing from the original Space Marines way back in Rogue Trader. So the conundrum was not that Saturnine did or didn't exist, it just had never been specifically attributed to this mark of armor. In my video, I basically said that if you wanted to call it anything, it should have been Vulcan armor, because we knew Vulcan had a hand in it, but it was never actually spoken to as Saturnine armor. Now it has been, case closed, that's basically it. So from what I've generally garnered, there's been this strange paradox at the heart of Warhammer the Heresy. But you see this also in Titanicus and other games like Necromunda. It's what I would call elegant stagnation. It's essentially that the game is pretty much good enough as it is, and players will soften any rough rule edges as they go along without the need for anybody to really come in with a sledgehammer, break it up, and start again. In terms of the rules, no big edition updates, no constant FAQs and errata, no confusion, just a nice game that basically stays the same, and everybody knows where they stand and they just make it work. This is what I heard all the time about the Heresy. It was the strongest overriding voice that I heard from the community, and when I say the community, I mean the very few people I know who play Heresy, because I just don't see the prevalence of Heresy like you do see 40k. You just don't see or hear from that many people. But they must be out there because Games Workshop's going mad for it, so there must be people buying it. But overall, what I heard and what I've seen online the most is, please don't change the game, we like it just the way it is. So, Games Workshop said, no problem, we're going to change the game. So, as part of, but more adjacent to the Skulls showcase, it was confirmed what many had seen, unfortunately leaked already, that a new edition of Heresy was coming with this Saturnine box set. Apparently, this is not a soft refresh, it's an overhaul, one which will require new rules, new units, and everybody's favourite, new books. It's that 3-year window time to buy everything all over again. The details are pretty slim at the moment, but from the way it's been presented, it seems like it's an effort to modernise the system in the sense of somewhat echoing 40k. But it's still not really 100% clear about just how much that is going to change things. This to me though is completely baffling, because it seemed like the very reason Heresy was so loved by those who play it was because it's not 40k. So by reshaping it as a little bit more like 40k is a very curious decision to make. I'm sure for some it's going to be exciting, for others I'm sure it's a very quiet sense of dread. Because the one thing I'd seen people agree on was this: the game didn't need to change, and now that it has, the question is going to be whether it's changed too much or in the wrong direction. All of that's hanging over the game like this massive storm cloud. Saturnine, the box, brings in a bunch of minis. You've got the Saturnine Terminators, the Dreadnought, all of which are cool and awesome, but I feel like it's overshadowed by what is the game going to be now. And I hate to say it on top of everything else, but I'm not 100% buying the aesthetic of the Saturnine, personally. It had been something I've been waiting for the longest time, and it's just not quite there for me. The new Heresy is coming with a heavy 352-page rulebook, updated weapon profiles including a new 40k-esque damage characteristic, mechanical tweaks to melee combat which are going to tie weapons more closely to model stats. There's the fully plastic Mark II Crusade armor, pulling one of the game's most iconic marks into the modern mold, and that's all good. But I think quite obviously what's worrying people the most is this shift of, can it thread the needle of making this both appealing to new players without alienating veterans? Because that's notoriously a very easy line to walk. But I've always just questioned how big of an audience can there be for Heresy. It's why I'm surprised they're going so hard on this release, but I think sometimes I just underestimate how popular Space Marines are. Because one of the core appeals for Heresy has always been its tone. I'll often watch battle reports when I'm painting or doing general 40k hobby, and unlike 40k, Heresy is often at its best as a slow, deliberate game. It's an interesting system where the weighted mass of legionary force matters just as much as a dice roll, where pre-calculated strategy is going to lead to decisive moments, perhaps more so than reactive tsunami reroll combos that you might see in 40k. But however you want to think about those specific mechanics, one of the best things that you really could say to represent it is something that I've seen Winters say repeatedly: it's all about telling stories. And the reason you can tell those stories is because they don't get patched away every 6 weeks. When they released it, there was initial momentum, certainly, but I think the Heresy game endured for the past few years precisely because there was this confidence that its rules weren't going to be overhauled to sell just a wave of plastic. And while not explicitly stated, I think there was always this unwritten sentiment that that was the case. It's kind of how it feels with something like Necromunda. And I would even go so far as to say that perhaps this is my wrong thinking here in terms of thinking that Heresy is not very popular. Maybe it is that the stability of the game gave it this kind of quiet dignity. It didn't beg for attention. It's just there doing its own thing. And there's this constant discussion now in 40k about Games Workshop's ecosystem slowly becoming more like a live service model. In the 10th edition, we saw multiple codex books become basically irrelevant on day one, if not in the first weeks of release, which raises a huge question about their actual worth. And many people now want to see codex not just be rules, but more like scenarios, lore, and a companion book to your army in an edition, more than just these are the rules for your army. Back in the day, that made sense. Now it makes no sense. Because with the endless updates for 40k, there's just a huge argument for taking rules and factional tweaks to a digital-only format. And I would argue they need to also create a means by which to use all the Legends units also within an app. This is really the future for 40k, and the sooner the better. And even though I'm a casual player, that is the writing on the wall. It is clear as day, and I really should talk about that in more detail, get some other people involved to discuss that on a separate video. So when players joked that Heresy succeeded because it never got updated, they really weren't wrong. Its lack of interference became kind of a shield. Heresy was never meant to be 40k. It's a different thing entirely. And while the new changes might make the game more approachable, in theory, they also risk flattening those distinctions which set it apart. Introducing standardized damage characteristics, yeah, sure, but it also nudges the game closer to 40k. Is that really what people want? Now, the Saturnine update is not just mechanical, it's narrative as well. Alongside the box, you've got a new campaign expansion focused on the drop site massacre at Isfahan 5. And to be a little bit more positive, that is nice because it demonstrates how the Heresy is at its strongest when it leans into that rich story of that era, the battles like Beta Garmon and so on. It's that sheer operatic tragedy of it all. At the same time, one of their big update reveals was, now you can just make an army of any unit composition. So that sense of reliving the battles, that kind of historical battle, right out the window. Does this all mean the new edition is doomed? Well, I don't want to be one of those channels that just vomits all over anything that comes along because lazy and just too easy to be like, blah, things are bad. But the Marines look very tidy. There's more bits for 40k conversions. Can't ever complain about that. The Saturnine Terminators, they bring this visual brutality which fits the escalation of the Heresy, and for players just now entering the game, the box set is a decent on-ramp, but there remains an undeniable question of identity. And like I say, for myself personally, Saturnine, I'm not really 100% on those units. But fundamentally, what is the Horus Heresy supposed to be? Is it a system designed to mirror 40k with a narrative skin, or is it fundamentally a different experience, more historical wargame than skirmish simulator? That's what we thought previously, but now, not so sure. In the end, it's this classic uncertainty that altering something core to the game may shift the ground beneath staunch veterans. And I enjoy problem solving, it's one of my core interests when it comes to the lore, but solving problems a games community never asked to be solved? Not really one for me, because in doing this, it feels very likely that some essential aspect may be lost. I've heard some people that are very worried, some not at all, others that are just indifferent. which I think summarizes this pretty well, which is basically we don't know how it's going to play out and we need to see more. Until then, people will keep debating and speculating on, is this how the game grows, expands, survives, or dies? Is this a good thing, or is it a fix for the one part of Warhammer that wasn't actually broken? Tell me your thoughts down in the comments. So a final thought, if you've made it this far, haven't done one of these for a while, a small update about me and the channel. Things overall pretty decent. My voice has been much improved. As some of you will remember, years back I suffered some vocal damage. It's not perfect, but it's very improved. Life is busy, as you might expect, given that I've got a 3-year-old in the house, and beyond this, my to-do list for lore is as long as ever. I still do have other projects planned along the way, but rather than rattle those off, it's best I just get on with it and announce as and when I can. The big news is that after about 2 years, my original fiction is slowly approaching something of a preliminary ready state. Now, I keep having to remind people that this is not 40K. I have been doing my own writing and world building over the past years. It's more of a space opera project, and it's a personal fun project that I started without really any intention of it becoming something else. But now, having shown it to several close friends, authors even, as well, I've had enough feedback to feel that I can bring it to the channel. Writing your own verse is surely an enthralling process, quite addicting, because it enables you to explore themes you already enjoy, like the rise and fall of empires, technological advancement, broad concepts within science fiction, such as how do you practically travel the galaxy with its vast distances? The exploration of morality and human condition, political intrigue, what does it mean to be a sentient form, the practicalities of galactic colonization, and so on. Now, I would consider the world that I've crafted to be not hard or soft science fiction, but somewhere in between. It attempts to treat practical mechanics seriously, but necessarily suspends some disbelief for it to function at all. Initially, I had considered delivering this through short stories in an opening anthology, but I soon realized that this would not allow me the detail I needed to truly lay out the opening vision I had, and so it snowballed as things often do for me. The positive was that by now this had grown into a project I could see myself continuing on with for many years, of course with the fairly significant caveat of if I were able to find an audience to join me in that expanding narrative development. And I will just make mention of that because I know people will ask. It is my intention to deliver the core narrative through my channel here on YouTube, which means that this will be a world that is always available to you for free as part of my channel. If the interest is high enough, I may produce small adjacent elements which may be delivered through Patreon as like optional extras. And just because I have had so many people ask, if I ever did get to a point where I felt like it was successful enough that it could be considered in some kind of physical book media release, I would probably do something there which then included additional chapters or details to make value for those who wanted to worthwhile. But I feel like that is all getting very ahead of myself here. People have already asked this stuff though, and so I felt like it's the right place to answer those questions because I know they will be asked again. And if any of this actually comes through to fruition, it's a different matter entirely. Because if this even is modestly successful here on the channel, I'll be both amazed and extraordinarily happy. It will be well above my modest expectations. So if I can pull that off, I would continue expanding the story and the world, I think almost indefinitely, because I've got so much worked out behind the scenes already. And so if you want to come and join me on this expanding narrative journey, if you want to give me a chance to allow you into basically my brain, then come along and see what it's all about. But all additional support and development is very dependent on how well this lands with all of you. And to that end, I do ask if you can share it when it comes, let others know if you think that they might like it, please engage with the videos when I make them. It makes a really huge difference for recommendations, success, and appeasing our Lord Algo. So that was Skulls, Heresy, and a bit about me. A big thanks for all of you for watching and engaging with the channel. All your comments and likes continue to drive things forward. So as always, I will see you all in the next one.